Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
This morning we're going to do something a little bit different. So I really want you to focus on the image on the screen while I tell you her story. When it first started, it wasn't that bad. A lot of women in the village were actually really helpful. Most of them had been through this before. Most of them offered up herbal remedies and potions that were homemade with the hope that this would get better. But instead, it got worse. It got worse to the point where I actually had to go and find medical treatment. I had to go and spend money on doctors. And maybe you don't understand, but doctors weren't for people like me. Doctors were for the rich and the wealthy. And so little by little, it dwindled away at any money I had, and my situation kept getting worse. I probably could have coped with the discomfort of this illness. I probably even could have managed the pain. But what I really struggled with were the labels. All of a sudden, I was known as unclean. I used to have a name, but now all I was unclean. Do you know what it means for people like me to be called unclean? It means that I can't touch anyone. It means that everything I sit on or come into contact with becomes contaminated and uncleaned. So little by little, this removed me from any form of community. It removed me from being able to participate in normal daily activities that everybody else seemed to enjoy. Little by little, I became known as "there's that unclean woman." And overlay all of that with the fact that this had gone on for 12 long years, and I had been getting progressively worse. What I couldn't understand was why I was always so tired. People gave me great information about eating better and maybe putting more into me, but the fact that I had no money and very little energy, most days I could barely get myself out of bed. But then I started to hear stories about this guy called Jesus. Apparently he was a teacher, but he wasn't like any teacher I had ever heard. This was a story about a man who was teaching not in the synagogues and not even to religious people, but was teaching in the wide open spaces. He was teaching to men, to women, and even children, and anyone was free to come and listen to him. And what he was saying was so different to anything we had heard before, but we knew it was from God. But what really got me curious, what really got me excited, is that he was healing people. Blind people were being healed and able to see. Lepers were freed from their illnesses. Demons were being cast out of people. And again, he wasn't just healing the rich. His healing wasn't because of how much money we had or what place in society we had. It was actually because he healed people like me, people who were unclean. Imagine what it would have been like for him to touch a leper. Who would have thought that would have made him unclean, surely? But no, he healed them anyway. So a lot of people think that I put more thought into meeting him than I actually did. To be honest, I was desperate and I saw an opportunity and I took it. I heard he was going to be in town and I kind of knew I didn't even need to see him or get a prayer from him. All I needed to do was get a touch from him. And so when I heard he was here, I pushed my way through the crowd. I wasn't even scared. I thought, look, surely with all these people, no one will notice me. And really things went to plan. At some point, I can't even tell you when, I saw the back of him and I stretched out my hand. And in an instant, I grabbed his robe and I knew I was healed. Just one touch from him and automatically I knew the bleeding had stopped. But then it all went downhill. All I could think about was my joy, but also trying to get out of there as quick as I could before people saw me and started calling me unclean. You can't imagine the trouble I would get into from touching all these people. But then he asked a question, "Who touched me?" Surely he could see the crowd. Even the disciples thought it was a silly question. People were pushing all around him. But then he asked it again, "Who touched me?" But this time he said, "Because the power has gone out from me." And I knew I could no longer stay silent. I braced myself for the humiliation. I thought they might even stone me once they had found out. But I also knew I had to tell him the truth. And so I threw myself at his mercy and on his feet, Trembling, I told him exactly what my story was and what had happened. And while I expected the unthinkable to happen to me, what really happened blew me away. He simply looked at me and said, "My daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." I cannot believe, out of all the things that could have happened, that he would actually look at me and he wouldn't condemn me. He wouldn't tell me off for touching someone and making them unclean. You see, what was really important was that an official of a synagogue called Jairus had already called him to his house to heal his daughter. But if everybody knew I was unclean and I had touched him, surely that would have made him unclean. Surely that meant he could no longer go to this government official's house and heal her. But that's not what happened. He went. And so for me, my life was never the same again. I came for a healing, and what happened was my life was transformed with one touch. I will never forget that day, and I will never forget the power of Jesus. Good morning, everyone. I really wanted to share that story with you because even though her story is recorded in three Gospels, in Matthew, Mark and Luke, often it's a few sentences or a paragraph. But what I really want you guys to get an impression of is that this is somebody's life. When we read the miracles, it's easy to just skim across and go, yep, he healed that person, he healed that person. But for these people, it was life-changing. This story has been playing on and on in my mind for about 6 weeks before I even knew I was ever going to preach. It was something that God kept stirring in me. And it was really about us understanding the gravity of what Jesus did that day. And God really wanted me to see this the way he saw these people. The account in Mark chapter 5 actually goes this way. When Jesus had again crossed over by the boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered with him. There was one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus who came there. Seeing him, he fell at his feet, pleaded with him earnestly, "My little daughter is dying. Please come to her and heal her so that she will be alive and well." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed him and passed around, and a woman was there who had been the subject of bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal with the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And then when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If only I touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately the bleeding stopped. She felt in her body that she was freed from suffering. At once Jesus realized the power that had gone out from him and turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see all the people crowding against you," said the disciples, "yet you can ask who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened, she came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and said the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace, be freed from your suffering." From this story, God really showed me three keys which I wanted to share with you today, and I hope it will bless you. The first one was that in many of the Bible stories, when you look at it, it's actually titled "The Woman with the Issue of Blood." And really, we could substitute it "The Woman with an Issue." And we all have them. What he showed me was she had already tried so many other options. She had dealt with this for 12 long years and tried everything she knew what to do. And these are the things in our life that Jesus asks us to bring to him. Often they're things that we don't even think about, that we've battled with, that we may have gone back and forth like a yo-yo. And there comes a point when Jesus says, "Bring it to me." Bring those things that have weighed you down. Bring those things that are robbing you not only of your health, but your finances and everything else. And let me heal them for you. And there was a really strong message for me today when I was reading this again, that Jesus really does want those things that have been with us for a long time. And it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It's easy to put things into neat little compartments and boxes. I will give that to Jesus, but I'll hang on to this. But what Jesus is asking you to go back through your compartments and your boxes, look at those things and say, "I'm offering them to you." You know, Matthew 7:7 tells us, "When you ask, you will be given. When you seek, you will find. And when you knock, the door will be open." He tells us also that we're not to worry. And the only reason he tells us not to worry is because he knows once it's handed to him, it's in safe hands. My second point is really about understanding the power of God, which this woman clearly did. With whatever knowledge she had, she understood that she just needed to touch something of his. She didn't need long prayers. She didn't need to be had hands laid on her or anything like that. She just needed to know that the power of God rested. And she took huge risks. The risk of being caught unclean through a whole crowd. If you go and have a look at Leviticus 15 verses 19 onwards, there's columns of things that you can't do. It means that everything you touch becomes unclean. Everything you come into contact with needs to be purified for days on end. And then when the period of bleeding finishes, sacrifices need to be made. So for her to be discovered in this crowd, it was risk. It was a big risk. But I call her desperate. Once you've tried everything, somehow the risk isn't that great. You are so desperate for your healing or your breakthrough that you're willing to take any chance that you can. But for us, we don't have to take those risks to come to Jesus. Jesus was only passing her way once, so she needed to seize an opportunity. But we have Jesus with us all day, every day. Colossians 1:27 tells us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But sometimes for me, knowing that I've got access to Jesus 24/7 can make me apathetic. You know, familiarity breeds contempt. The fact that I've got him and I can access him, does it make me less interested in trying to bring those things to Jesus? In my friendship and my pursuit of intimate relationship with Jesus, have I forgotten the power of God that I serve? That the God that lives in me is the same one that created the earth in 6 days, is the same one that parted the sea and raised Jesus from the dead. That is the power that's living in me. But do I forget that because he's a friend? Do I forget him because it's so easy to access him? And do I just push him away to a corner and deny his power? So this story hit home to me that this is a God of power. This is a God of might, and this is the God who wants your stuff to heal. He didn't take her and just heal her. He transformed her life. So she came for a healing. She just wanted to stop bleeding. But he saw that, and he also wanted to transform her life and bring her back into community. Often our stuff isolates us. Addictions are one of the most isolating things you can have because they separate you from community. Illness removes you from community. But what God does is restore you and bring you back into the community. And so he didn't just heal an illness, but he gave her the opportunity to re-enter and become part of the community that she lived in. And that's what Jesus wants for us. This is what life abundantly means in John 10:10. It means being able to live a full life, not having illness, not having financial problems. And while you may just come to Jesus for one thing, he wants to give it all to you. But then there's more for me. And when I kept going back and back and back through this, and I cannot tell you how many times I've gone through this, at least 6 weeks worth, the final thing that God really revealed to me was this was about relationship. I couldn't get past the fact that Jesus, knowing everything he knew about this woman's situation, would ask in the middle of a crowd, "Who touched me?" He knew what this would do to her. He knew once she said her story, the people would know that they had come into contact with an unclean thing. In fact, it should have made him unclean. But he did it, I think, for two reasons. He did it to physically prove to everyone that she was healed. Unlike the blind and the lepers, there was no physical outworking that people could see on this woman's situation. It was deeply personal what her issue was, as it is with some of us. But he wasn't doing it to humiliate her. That's not the way that we know Jesus. He was actually doing it to say, what the world made unclean, I have made clean. You see, in the book of Leviticus, the way it works is that when an unclean thing comes into contact with clean, it contaminates. But what he was telling us is that nothing can remain unclean in the power of Jesus, and that whatever he touches is rendered clean. And we know that this was acceptable. People agreed and believed, or he never could have kept going on to Jairus' house, who was a religious leader, and heal his daughter and actually raise her from the dead. He would have had to go back home, purify himself for the next 7 days and make sacrifices. But here we see a woman unclean in the front of everyone in public. Her shame was made known so that she could be healed and declared clean. And she could now be free to enter the community, to earn an income, to go and live the life that God wanted her. But I also think that there was something here that was deeply personal for her. There was something here about knowing that she didn't need to steal her miracle. So she was quite content that Jesus never even needed to know she was there. She was quite content to steal away in the crowd and touch something and run away. But he wanted her to know that he knew her. He knew her. He knew she was coming. She was not an accident. She was not an interruption. But she needed to know that. She needed to know that Jesus wanted to heal her. And the only way he could do that was by asking her her story. You know, Revelation 12 tells us that we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. It's a bit of a funny scripture. And considering that Jesus wasn't dead, coming into his presence was enough. But it also meant there's something powerful in our own story. There is something powerful when we can come and tell people what Jesus has done for us, which is what this woman needed to do. There is something quite liberating when we can share with somebody else the power of what we believe and why we believe it. And so in that, there was something for me that really stirred that for some of us, we need a fresh revelation that God knows us. Psalm 139 tells us that he knew us in his mother's womb before, while we were being formed. This is not an accident. Every hair on your head is numbered. And sometimes you can pretend, get caught up in feeling like you're one of the crowd. That in the multitude of people that call themselves Christians, why would God be interested in me? One of the beautiful things about the God we serve is that he is so concerned with community. He's concerned with the community of believers. His church is called the Bride of Christ. But he is just as interested in the individual. He cares and knows each one of us by name. And so this is a God who wants both a corporate and a personal relationship with us. He wants us to understand that he has always known us. He knew us no matter what we did. He's just waiting for us to acknowledge him the way this woman did. To come to a place of desperation where we call out Jesus and reach out our hand to touch. That's all he's asking for from us. And so there's identity for us in who we are, just as this woman was. He calls her daughter. Not friend, not stranger, not who is your name. He calls her daughter. She belongs. And after 12 years of not belonging, after 12 years of being cast aside, I can't even begin to imagine what that word meant for her to be called daughter. There is ownership. Somebody owns her. Someone's looking out for her the same way that God is looking out for you. So for me, there are three very simple messages that I got from this scripture. And it was more than the healing that I originally saw. I skimmed over this book so many times during my life, but only ever saw a woman who had an issue who was healed. But this time around, I saw something different. This time around, because I allowed myself to ponder on and let the Holy Spirit take me through this scripture, I saw something really different for me, which was about the fact that this woman could be any of us. We all have issues that are deeply personal. And what he was trying to show us is it doesn't matter whether they're new issues, old issues, we can bring them to him and be healed. He also showed me through this scripture that it was a good reminder about the power of God. Not to become complacent like we can. We're so lucky here that we can freely come and praise and worship and participate in our faith. Not to lose sight that this is a God of power and might. This is a God who raises people from the dead. And not to be complacent about when we bring our stuff to him. Almost half-hearted sometimes. I'm very guilty of coming to him going, can you? What kind of a question is that to pose to God? Can you? But sometimes that's where my faith is. And Jesus congratulates that woman on her faith. Your faith has healed you. I look at it and I don't see a woman of great faith. I see a woman who tried everything else. I see a woman who was desperate. And yet, the Bible tells us that all you need is faith the size of a mustard seed. And so for me, it's about maybe my faith is not as big as it should be, and maybe I forget what the power of God is, but at any time I can come back and just put it in his hands and say, here, it's yours. I've run out of options now. And God doesn't judge me. He doesn't ask me why I tried and invested in other places first. He simply takes my stuff and heals it. And in the middle of it, he also transforms my life. And finally, this is a story about a God who knows us. He knows us corporately as a community of believers, but he knows us individually. And he's concerned with the stuff that concerns us. He's concerned with not only healing your things, but transforming us into different people. And he's concerned with us on such an intimate level that nothing is too big or small for us to bring to him. So today I'm going to ask Nikki to come and play a song for us. And it's an old song that God just kept reminding me of who he is to us. He wants to remind us that in the midst of everything that we're going through, like our early worship song said, our soul can be well. There is opportunity here for us to receive our healing, whether it's financial, maybe our issues are not of physical nature, and maybe they are so deep-seated we've even given up hope that they could be fixed. Maybe they're people, maybe they're relationships. But today God's reminding each of us that he knows us, he knows our stuff, and he wants to heal us. So I just pray that as Nikki sings for us, that you will be blessed and it will give you some time to reflect. Maybe for you sitting here today, you need a fresh reminder of who God is and the power that he carries. Maybe you just need to remember that he knows you, that you are not a person in the crowd, but he knew your name. He knew you before you were formed. And most importantly, he knew what you would do and what you would go to do, and he still died for you. So that there is nothing that can change that. Thank you. Thanks everyone for being here today. I really pray and hope that you see this story a different way, and I pray that you will have a blessed week.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.